would like to begin today by acknowledging the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of the land in which we are recording today, and would like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hey, I'm Carly.
And I'm Paige.
Welcome to another episode at Valley Village Collective Podcast,
the podcast where we dive into the heart of motherhood, bringing you relatable stories from local mums and insights from local practitioners.
Get ready for some real talk as we listen, learn, and navigate the adventure of motherhood together. You'll experience some aha moments and a whole lot of love and support.
This is Valley Village Collective Podcast. Let's get into today's episode.
Hi, Alana, and welcome to Valley Village Collective Podcast. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Can you just start by introducing yourself, who you are, where you're based, your business, and who's in your family?
Yeah, okay. So my name's Alana. I'm a yoga and Pilates teacher. My business name is Your Yoga Spot. I'm currently living in Singleton in New South Wales. And I live in my little tiny house with my partner, Kieran, who's recently just engaged. So now he's my fiancé.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm very excited. And we have a nearly two-year-old daughter named Juniper. I call her Junie for short. And yeah, she'll be two next month, which is crazy.
Beautiful. So Alana, your yoga spot. So can you just give us a little brief rundown on the types of, so you're a yoga and Pilates instructor. Do you have other strings to your bow and do other things as part of your business as well?
Yeah. So I currently, once a month, I run a yin yoga and sound bath immersion with my friend Christy, who plays the singing bowls. And then together we also run a women's circle once a month.
Yeah. So lovely. Yeah. And you guys also do events as well together, like sometimes out in the community as well.
Yeah, so I, part of my business is that I can do private events and private classes for people. So I've done a few of those in the past. And then recently I was contacted by a business in Pocolban to run a meditation. So I invited Christy with me because I thought the crystal bowls would be a really, nice thing to tie into that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, beautiful. And I also run once a month a mum's meetup in Singleton at Rose Point Park. That's the other thing I do.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I love that you you're so inspiring to connect women together in such a like small regional area, you know, that maybe not like Newcastle, you know, where there's lots of opportunity for women to meet, you know, just providing opportunity for more regional locations to gather women together, I think is so beautiful. Should we take a few steps back and maybe talk about what led you to this work and how, can you talk about, you know, becoming a yoga and Pilates instructor and then moving into maybe your parenting journey or your birth or postpartum journey?
Yeah. Okay. So I did my 200-hour yoga teacher training back 2021, I think it was. And I did that. So while I was living in Newcastle, I've only just moved up this way last April, last year. And I just wanted to do it because I was like, I love this so much. I'd only been going to classes probably a year and a half before I did my teacher training, but I just fell in love with it. And I was like, there's something else here. Like there's magic in not only attending classes, but through attending classes, I then learned that actually yoga is a philosophy and there's a lot more going on the background. You know, it's not just attending group classes. And I just fell in love with it. And I really wanted to be able to give that experience to other people as well. And I've done a few other teacher trainings. I've also done my prenatal and postnatal with Bliss Baby Yoga. They're up in Byron. and they're amazing for all things motherhood with yoga. And then I, through doing my prenatal training, I became really obsessed with pregnancy and motherhood, and it was just like this whole new world that opened up to me. And I think, you know, hormones were obviously flying because I was like, oh, I can't wait to be a mum. I can't wait to be pregnant. I can't wait to experience all these things that all these women are talking about. And yeah, so I became pregnant. And then through my pregnancy, I was humbled. I thought, because I was like, I was religiously at 6 a.m. every day getting up, going to hot yoga, I thought that I would continue that sort of intensity through my pregnancy. And I was really humbled because in my first trimester, I was so sick. Like I didn't vomit, but all day I just had this terrible nausea. And I was working from home at the time, and I used to cry because I had to get out of bed and go to the next room and sit down at my desk. And I was like, how do women leave the house? So I was very humbled. And then in my second and third trimester, when I started to feel a bit better, I couldn't come into a down dog. Just being upside down doing a forward fold, like all the blood would just rush to my head, and there was no like dynamic yoga, physical yoga practice going on in my life. It was all just meditation and breathing and just gentle stretching, and so that gave me a whole new experience. And it also it sort of taught me that, you know, different people have different needs. And if I'm going to be the best yoga teacher that I can be, I need to be able to adapt how I teach to whoever walks in through the room, in through the doors. I just love it. So I just keep doing it. And I've only recently just done my Pilates training. So once we moved to up this way, I'll go back, I'll rewind actually. I really was desperate after I had my daughter to start teaching properly, and because I really wanted to have my own business, and I sort of felt like I'd lost my, I guess, footing in order to get into the industry to start teaching, because I became pregnant just after I finished my teacher training. And so I'd lost my confidence. I had that like I'm not worthy type stuff going on. So when I moved up this way, I thought, oh, there's not as much competition, and it's okay if I suck a little bit. So that gave me the confidence to just start we moved up here. And then by then Junie was over a year old, and I'd started to build a bit more strength up in my body and a bit more confidence in myself as well. Only recently I've completed my Pilates training in the last few months. I did that because my numbers of people attending my classes weren't as high as I would like them. And what I noticed is that people wanted to come to more of the dynamic classes that I was putting on, because I think people are looking for an exercise type class. So I thought, well, maybe if I do my Pilates training, that I can get people into the door that way as well. So it was sort of a bit of a business strategy. But I've completely fallen in love with teaching Pilates as well. Like, it's so much fun. I love it. The class that I teach, the regulars that come along, we have a great laugh, and it's a really great energy.
Lovely. So thank you for sharing that, Alana, and your journey through pregnancy and becoming a yoga teacher at the same time. And I can completely resonate with some things that have taken place in my life about, and you didn't use the word identity as such, but I sense like when you said being worthy, like, isn't it just incredible as mothers, we think we're not worthy of particular things in life. Like, it's just that social kind of messaging that we're taught, like that if you're a mum, you have to be in that box and you have to do that. You can't do anything else necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So when you were in your postpartum period with Junie, what were you – so you were living down in Newcastle, is that right?
Yeah. So we only moved up this way last April.
Yeah. And so what were some of the – like you talked about being humbled through pregnancy about your movement, but what about like when you became – when you were in your postpartum period, did you have any particular like feelings around that time and that period and how you were adjusting to like becoming a mother in society and what was sort of available in your love for yoga, but feeling a little bit disconnected from some of that?
Yeah. So I think I had a lot of anxiety in postpartum. It was very controlling over my life. And I think that sort of started with my birth. Like my birth didn't go how I thought that it wanted to. I was planning a home birth, and when I was in labor, because of policy, I needed to be transferred to John Hunter, and so all of this stuff that went on through my birth, I didn't have the supports that I thought that I would have either, and I felt really disappointed by the whole situation. So I think in early postpartum, like it's crazy, like your hormones are going off and you've got this brand new little baby and you've got no idea what you're doing. And I guess trying to deal with the disappointment from my birth. I just had a lot of anxiety around that time. And I became very isolated. I had a lot of trouble breastfeeding because I have nipple vasospasm, and it was really painful no matter what I did. I got help from all these different people. Because Junie was born in April, like going into the colder months, it was just, I really, really struggled with breastfeeding. So I ended up pumping exclusively for 6 months. As I put so much pressure on myself, and I refused to use formula because I thought I was being abusive if I gave my daughter formula. I just put so much pressure on myself, and I will never do that again, like with next babies. So I pumped exclusively for 6 months, every 2 hours pumping. It was probably like half an hour each time because I was trying to build up a stash as well. On top of that, like feeding, then having to feed Junie, and then having to change her, and then trying to look after the house and feed myself. Like it was just crazy, crazy the amount of pressure that I put on myself. So that's what 6 months of my life looked like every single day. And I had, I realized that, like, I can't keep doing this to myself.
Yeah.
It's like this is torture.
Yeah. And I hear of women who have exclusively pumped, and it's if we sort of strip it back a little bit, like those women that struggle to breastfeed and make the decision to go and formula feed their baby, whether it's something that they feel like it's the best decision, or they're sort of have made the decision that it's best for their sort of mother baby duo. It's difficult, and I had that experience as well with one of my children, which surprised me. But that like decision to exclusively pump is such a mentally draining, physically draining thing that a lot of women who do exclusively pump describe. Consuming. So Alana, do you want to just explain to our listeners what vasospasm actually is?
Yeah, okay. So I've got really bad, how I picked up on it, because I wasn't really sure what was going on. So how I picked up on it is that I've got really bad circulation in my fingers and my toes. So I get my hands and feet get really, really cold. So what was happening every time, so your nipple, when you're trying to breastfeed, gets, it's like, oh my God, what is going on? And it gets really quite sensitive. So what happened is that I would get pain into my nipple and you could see the blood that would draw away from it. So my nipple would turn white because it's all just the blood being drawn away. And then I would just have this stabbing pain and it would radiate all through my breast. And it didn't matter how good her latch was, what was going on. Like, I ended up using nipple shields for a little while to try and help with that as well. Like, nothing that I did would help with the pain. And it was most of the time, or probably like 50-50 of the time, I wouldn't actually get pain while she was on the breast. It would be after she hops off, and the pain would just sort of like flare up and it would continue even when she wasn't breastfeeding. So yeah, I just had just pain all the time, and it's just like this hot shooting sharp pain, and it was awful. Like, I spent every day just crying for so long, just trying to make it work. And yeah,
so how long
trying to like summer baby next time.
So how long would that pain, like, so if it didn't happen when she was at the breast, like, how long would it last for?
It just sort of depended. So if I had something that I was told that could really help is that if you just make yourself really quite warm and you can bring heat to the area. So I would try and do that every time that I had pain. It just sort of depends. Sometimes it was just like a short, like it would just last for maybe 30 seconds, and then other times it would last for like maybe 2 minutes. Each time it would just sort of flare up.
And so did that affect, so there's like localized pain around your breast area, did it affect like anything else in your body? Like, obviously you've talked about some anxiety feelings. Was it like, was there like any other like feverish feelings or any other like secondary feelings elsewhere?
No, not for me. No, it was just the mental.
So that, so it was the I mean, obviously the biggest one being anxiety. So going, when you sort of started to identify what, like feeding out in public, was that like a bit of a concern for you as well? Or,
well, I just never really got the opportunity to try.
Because
I just didn't have the confidence. I just remember sitting there for ages. She's screaming and crying because she's hungry. Yeah. And then I'm trying to get the nipple shield, and then milk is just squirting everywhere, and the nipple shield's flying off because it's all wet. And oh, it was just, I feel like, you know, where we just put so much pressure on ourselves. And I just was so, like, I just was so frustrated at myself. I was like, why can't I get this? Like, why can't we work this stuff out?
And so what was the final decision for you? So you then went on to exclusively pump. So then what was the final decision around choosing to stop doing that?
To stop exclusively pumping?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got to the 6 month mark and I thought, like, that's a really good amount of time for me to be giving my baby breast milk. And then I had this massive freezer stash going on. We actually bought a freezer and put it in our garage just for my milk. And I just thought, look, I thought, I'm so isolated, because it's really isolating. I thought, I'm so isolated, like, I just can't keep doing this. And I was so sleep deprived, because, you know, I couldn't just go back to sleep after she fed. My partner was actually great. What we'd usually do is that I would wake up and I would pump, and then he would just give her a bottle, which was amazing that he did that. Very grateful that I had help. I don't know how single mothers do it. Crazy. So originally I started with the, okay, just at nighttime, we'll just do half and half, so formula and breast milk, and I just won't pump at nighttime. So it started with that, and then I slowly just a transition slowly transitioned away from that. So then it was, okay, I'm only going to pump a certain amount of times during the day, and then I wasn't doing it while she was feeding it. I was like, okay, I'll do it at 10 a.m., 3 p.m. Like I had a bit more of structure going on. And then, yeah, I just, as my freezer stash slowly dwindled off, and I think I became a lot softer towards myself. I was like, it's okay. Yeah. She's not going to die if I do transition to just formula. Like it's going to be okay. So yeah, it was just a gradual process that I slowly just dwindled off. And
Can you just, I guess probably what I think some of our listeners might be thinking, how is it different with vasospasm, like to be pumping, like you've still got that sort of pressure around the breast with the pump. How you never got any pain from doing that?
Originally I did, but okay. I just made sure that I had the right size pump.
Okay.
So that while I was pumping, I made it a little bit bigger than what the recommended one was for your nipple, so that as the breast did get drawn in, like I wasn't having it touching around the edges. So I just made it a little bit bigger so that it, yeah, my nipple wasn't getting rubbed while I was pumping. Yeah. So once I started doing that, then the pain just, didn't have as much pain. Yeah. Sometimes it would flare up, but
I think it's worthy of noting here that really important for women, if you are choosing to pump, that you do get the right size pump, because so many women, like when you look at the actual diameters and the measurements that is the standardized, I think it's 24 is usually the regular millimeter. It's actually quite large for a lot of women. So really important that if you are looking to buy a pump or planning to pump at some stage, just go and get measured. There's lots of different tools online or through a reputable reputable brand like Spectra or Medalla or somewhere like that that you can actually measure and go and purchase the right size, because that will make your pumping journey so much more comfortable. Even if you aren't exclusively pumping and you are just pumping to build up a freezer stash or allow your partner to share the load, you want it to be comfortable, because it's not the most natural thing to do. Definitely recommend. And also, I would also say that don't feel the pressure to buy a pump prior to having your baby either, because sometimes it might be something that takes a little bit to get used to. If you are in hospital, they will give you a pump to use if you do happen to be needing that, or your baby needs additional support or anything like that. And if you're at home, just really enjoy if you birth at home, just really enjoy those first few weeks of not feeling like you need to pump, or just get your baby at the breast as much as you can, within obviously reason, like Alana's describing, that wasn't something that worked for her. Maybe then you need to go out and purchase some additional equipment. So Alana, I just want to touch on this anxiety, because I know so many mothers feel it at different stages of their journey, some in those early days, some as their children move into toddlerhood, or at school age. It can flare up at so many different times. So, and it's so normal. There's so many women who are so anxious about different aspects of motherhood. You mentioned feeling isolated. So can you talk about what that meant for how you were living? You are living in Newcastle, so there's lots of things going on, but that feeling of isolation was there for you. Can you talk us through like what was happening at the time mentally, and how and why, looking back, that you were feeling that way?
So I didn't have many. So my job before I was pregnant, I was in corporate, very fast, fast moving industry, lots of stress going on. I didn't have much time to, I didn't have much time to slow down. So then when I was forced to slow down in early postpartum, I think it was a big like, whoa, like I've got all this time, like I'm just sitting at home all day with this new little baby, and I didn't have any friends around me that actually also had little babies at the time. So I felt very isolated in that sense, is that I thought like I'm in this whole new world that I'm not used to. I don't have younger siblings. And yeah, I didn't have friends around me. Like I didn't have a village. I did not have this village around me for support. Like I had my family dropping in. But yeah, I had people around me suggesting, hey, you know, there's like mum groups that you can go to. You can go to play groups. Why don't you go do this? Why don't you go do that? And the idea of, so while I was pumping, the idea of leaving the house and going to a group for an hour was such an overwhelming thought. Like it was so overwhelming. I was fine to leave the house and go pop down to the shopping center for 15 minutes because I was living in Adamstown at the time, and Katara Shopping Center was just like 5 minutes from me. And I was okay about walking her down in the pram to the park, but I always knew that I was really close to home and I could come back and I could pump when I needed to, whenever she fed. So I think for a long time, that's what kept me isolated, was this thought in my head. I was like, oh, I have to pump. And I tried the portable pumps and they're just painful for me. Like they're just annoying to deal with. The milk's going everywhere and you're sitting in the car or... And then also there's that anxiety of, oh, if I don't get a good enough pump, then my milk supply will dwindle. And yeah, all these guilty thoughts flying around in my head. So for a long time, that's what kept me really isolated. But then once I started to soften around that stuff and we started to introduce a little bit of formula, it just meant that I could then commit to, oh, I'm going to go join this group. And the first group and joining mum's groups, especially for the first time, is so nerve-wracking, like walking into a space where you don't know anyone. It takes a lot of guts to go along to these different things. The first group that I went to is at Warners Bay and the Mama and Bubba Picnic. They've got a Facebook group. It's run by the Newcastle Birth Movement and Marion from Yoga for Mama.
Yeah.
And that was the first group that I went along to, and it was just on once a month, and it totally changed. Like it changed my experience with motherhood, because it was just such a inviting place to go, and everybody was really lovely and connecting with like-minded women. Like I also had this block about going to play groups because I was like, oh, I'm not going to relate to anybody there. I also isolated myself in that way. So I went to this group and it was terrifying going to this group for the first time. But like I said, it was such a warming and inviting environment. And it's my inspiration for doing the group that I do here in Singleton. So we meet once a month and I bring a special guest along each month because I really want to be able to give back to women. Like what I found, like if I can have at least one woman who starts to attend this group that I run and just have the same experience that I did and can start to come out of that isolation and can hopefully help like any anxiety or depression that's lingering. And just start to build connection with other people. Like that's what I really, really want to be able to give back to other mothers. So yeah, because it was just life-changing, that group. Like if anyone lives in Newcastle, I really recommend going to that group because it's super lovely. But yeah, So shout out to them.
yeah, absolutely. And that's so beautiful, like that you know, it's so important to find your village, and you really can't go on this motherhood journey without having a village. It's just so important. I really resonate with what you say. It can be so daunting going to those motherhood, like those mums groups. It feels like, yeah, you just wonder like how you're going to relate to anybody, but you're all on that path. You're all on that journey together. Things that you're feeling, so many others are feeling the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing that I want to mention too, that really helped me, was the app Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
So at 4 a.m., 2 a.m., like those overnight feeds when it's so, like, it's so quiet and the whole world is sleeping, but you're up like trying to deal with this little baby. And then I'd just have mums that I would just message. I never met up with any of them, but it was just at night, like I would have a few mums that I used to talk to, and it would just be those early morning chats. And so I really recommend that app for anybody that just wants to try and connect with other people as well and just talk to other mums about what's going on, because it really helped me.
I really like that. I think I was in a similar position, and you know, when you were talking about where's my village, I always thought of a village of, you know, people that look after your kids and cook for you and things like that. But a village doesn't have to be like that. It can be a group that you go and see and talk to, because I think it's important to know that no one really has a singular experience, if that makes sense. As in, if you're having these thoughts and you're having these feelings, there's another mum that's going to, and you know, if you're sitting in a circle of women and they're talking about their rough night, you're going to resonate with that. So yeah, I think your village can be something as simple as a mother's group once a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just takes that isolation aspect away too, because then you go like, oh, actually, these women feel the exact same way that I do. Like, we're all having the same sort of experiences and we're all having these same sort of feelings. And yeah, it can definitely help, because you realize like, oh, actually there's other people there too that are just like me.
Yeah. And I think I was always worried to go to a mum's group, because I don't know, I feel like I always heard so much stuff about mums judging other mums, but the mums groups that I've been to are not like that at all. I think it's very much the minority, and maybe it's our generation of mums, I don't know, but everyone is just so supportive and so lovely. You might come across someone not so great, but majority have been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like what held me back from attending mums groups for so long too, is that I had like these little comments of people around me like, oh, people are bitchy or they're judgy or yeah.
I think, you know, it's also like finding your voice in those settings too, and being able to say, if you do feel any of those like feelings of being judged or comments, that, well, why don't you just put them on formula, like at, you know, 1 month old, if that's, you know, if that's what's happening, and if it's causing you those feelings, why don't you just do that? But you know that you want to give everything that you possibly can to your child or to yourself, like in that experience. But it's about using your voice and saying, well, hey, like, this is working for me right now, even though it's really hard, I want to continue doing this for XYZ reasons, and that's my choice. But it is so difficult to sort of, you know, be able to sort of say those sorts of things.
And I always struggled with when I, because it took me quite a few months to go to a mum's group, I was always worried, oh, what if my baby cries and I don't know how to fix it? Everyone's going to look at me and go, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. Well, for starters, I didn't know what I was doing. But then I sort of realized everyone doesn't really know what they're doing. And that's okay. So I think, yeah, for anyone listening, if you've got a young bub at home and you're scared that you're going to go out and cry, well, you might go out and cry. I did. But if you go out and you're scared your baby's going to cry, when other mums look at you, they're not going to be judging you. They're going to be looking at you thinking you're doing a good job. Because I know when I see other mums in the shops now, which I didn't do this before I was a mum, but when I see other mums in shops now with babies, all I think is, God, she's doing a good job.
Yeah. I've actually gone up to mums. One was super like triggering for me. I actually was only had one of my children at the shops this particular day, but this woman had three, and I had three kids by this point, and I was really struggling myself at this time, and she was looking very frazzled and stressed out and really struggling at that time. And I just went up to her and I said, I know exactly how you're feeling right now, and you're doing a really good job. And like, it's just like she softened in that moment, because it's just that understanding. Like, and maybe sometimes you don't even need to say anything. It's just that look in the eyes. It's just that, like, I know what you're going through. I feel you. Like, I know how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah. When I used to take, so I used to live in Adamstown when I was in Newcastle. So I was right next to the Fernley track, and I used to take Jeannie for walks along there. And she went through this period where she didn't want to be in the pram. She just wanted to be held, but I just didn't feel strong enough to keep it on me the whole time, like baby wearing. And so there was a few weeks there where I just felt so discouraged from going out for a walk, because she would just keep crying, and then I'd have to pick her up and I'd have to walk with her, but then I'm holding her in the pram, and it was just a stressful situation for a few weeks. And there was this mum that I used to always pass. And then I know that one day, like, I was like, oh, I give up and I'm going back home. And this mum, she walked past me and she's like, you know, I've been watching you and I think you're doing a really great job. Like, I can see that you're a bit stressed right now, and I've been there. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then after she walked off, I just cried, because yeah. I was like, oh, thank you. yeah, it's just that isolation thing, like, actually, you know, other people have been there too, like, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. And it's that validation as well. Like, we are so hard on ourselves. We're not telling ourselves that we're doing a good job. Like, we're finding criticism within what we're doing. We're not doing this. It's that good mother, like, you know, like, we need to keep trying harder. You know, it's that social expectation of we need to keep trying harder. But other people see that in us, though, that we are good enough and that we're doing a great job. Alana, I just touching on what you said before about as well, you know, having things in common with people, I just want to, like, also share a little bit in that realm too. And I'm not sure if you sort of have any comments around this, but when I moved to this area, I was 30 weeks pregnant with my second child, and I didn't know anybody. I had one friend up in Singleton and one friend in Morisset, and so both 45 minutes away from me, but we were in lockdown. You know, it was a very unknown time, so going to see them was not an option at that time. And I decided that a mum's group at that time, I was feeling a little bit, like, discomforted with. It wasn't sitting with me well. I think I lacked a bit of confidence because I hadn't ever been to a mum's group, because I lived in a very remote place with my first child. And so I had never been to one before. And so I felt a bit uncomfortable, probably because what you guys are saying, like, you know, that perception of what they're like. So I chose to actually go to a gym, a female gym with a creche. And because I knew that I felt safer in that environment, because at the time, like, my life was so revolved around health, fitness, like, nutrition. Like, I was very, it really interested me, and it was something that I'd immerse myself in, like, in my career at that time too. And so I decided, well, that's maybe where I might find my people. And sure enough, I did. So, you know, I feel like if you are thinking that mum's groups are not for you, are there any other like groups that you can go to that resonate well with you? So when you moved, Alana, up to Singleton, did you like, how did that feel then, like, for you? You know, you're moving out of somewhere that you'd started building a bit of a community to another area where you had to maybe start again. How did that feel?
Yeah, I didn't love that idea, but we moved so that we could be closer to my partner's work because he works in Muswellbrook. And I am very, I'm very attached to my family. I love my family. And I've always, I've moved away a few times to different parts of Australia, but I've always come back to Newcastle because that's where the majority of my family are. And so the idea of moving again, I was like, oh, got to start all over again. You know, we had a really great relationship with our neighbors on either side, and I had that little bit of sense of community just with the people around me. And there was one woman that used to always go walking, and she'd always check in on us, like, oh, how's the pregnancy going? And then when I had Junie, checking in on us, and she got us a little gift. And so I felt like I had this little community going with my neighbors, and I'd never had that experience before because, like I said, I've moved around a little bit. And so I was really scared to leave that. Like, I did not want to leave that. And Adamstown is such a great location. It's really central to a lot of things. And because I'd gotten my confidence up and I'd started to go to this mum group and I'd started to make connections there with other mums, just the idea of moving again was really daunting because I was like, I've put in so much effort and I feel like I have to start all over again. But it's been really great. And I think what it is because I now have that confidence where I feel like I'm going to put myself out there. And I realize that now that I've moved, you know, it was a great motivation. I thought, yes, I'm going to start my business and I'm going to do this now. And that helped me connect in with my community as well. And then when I started doing the mums group, I realized when I got here, I was like, oh, there's nothing really here for mums to do. Like, there's a few things for the kids, but, you know, like, I find that play groups, you know, they're mostly there, like, they're focusing on children and it's a place for the children to come play. Where with my mum's group, what I really wanted to do is it's there for the mums. Like, you can bring your kids with you. Doesn't matter how old your kids are. We're at a park, it's all enclosed, but I really wanted to give something back to the mums. I realized that there was nothing like that around here. So that's why I started my own group. And I think because I've put myself out there, like, that's really made the big difference that I don't actually feel like I'm lonely. I feel like, you know, I go to different groups. There's a home birth group that's just started up as well locally. And that's a really great group that I go to as well. And I see a lot of the same sort of women there. I think the big difference is that I don't have all this anxiety now. I don't have all this new mum doubt going on. Now it's just like toddler doubt going on. I think that's the main difference, is that because I knew that I just needed to put myself out there really early on, it hasn't been so daunting.
So just before we finish up, Alana, if there's new mum listening to this, or if there's a mum that's sort of in that later part of pregnancy and she's sort of thinking about what her postpartum looks like, and I always encourage women to like plan for postpartum because you don't know how your journey's going to evolve. And so, you know, if you've got a few things that you can like do or put in place that is going to support some of these challenging thoughts or feelings or anxieties or anything like that, or just a recognition of, hey, I need a bit of extra support there, or this is what I'm looking for. Do you have any messages to those women out there today?
I think so. My biggest lesson that I learnt was that, you know, I don't need to put so much pressure on myself. I had all these ideas. I thought I was going to have a home birth. I thought I was going to breastfeed. Neither of those things happened. And so I had all these wonderful ideas about how I thought that my postpartum was going to look. But when those expectations weren't met, I really punished myself for it. My biggest piece of advice is, do the practical planning, like get the people around you, tell them that you need them to cook the meals every time they come visit you, or they can leave meals at your doorstep. Or they can get you food vouchers, and when they come over, like put boundaries in place, like when you come over, I need you to do this for me so that I can go have a shower, or I want to go have a sleep. So all those practical things. But if you have all these wonderful ideas about how you think your postpartum is going to look, and if they aren't met, like that's okay. It's okay. Don't punish yourself for it, because it's hard enough already. It doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It doesn't mean that you are not good enough. It's just, that's being a parent. That's just what being a parent is about, is that you can't predict what's going to happen. You can have all these plans in your head, but yeah, children aren't going to act the way that you want them to act. And life usually does not go the way that you expect it to go. So yeah, just be really kind to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful advice.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Alana. Could you let everyone know where they can find more information about your monthly meetups?
Yeah, so my website is youryogaspot.com.au. So I've got all my classes that I teach up there and all my events. And under my events page, I've got a link to my Singleton Mums meetup, which just takes you to our Facebook group. And you can also just go into Facebook and just type in Singleton Mums Meetup. If you're not on Facebook, it's on the second Monday of every month. It starts at 9:30 at Rose Point Park.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Alana.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Valley Village Collective Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and feel more supported in your journey through motherhood, or even just put a smile on your face today.
Before you go, it would mean the world to us if you hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode, leave us a review if you liked today's episode, and find us on Instagram at Valley Village Collective. See you next week!